Thank you, Brother Gall. It's Mother's Day. I'm going to look at a couple of texts for us this morning. If you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and then we'll go to Titus chapter 2 and just read a few verses in both places this morning. And Ephesians chapter 6 to start with, and the first three verses. One of them I used in the bulletin article today. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Apostle Paul here referred to the Ten Commandments, first commandment with promise. And that promise is found in verse 3, "that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." And then more a little bit specific to women and guiding to be the right kind of wife and mother, I ask you to go to Titus chapter 2. We begin to read verse 1. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Bible is full of instruction concerning how we ought to be good fathers, good mothers, good Christians. After we're saved, got a rule book to follow. And Titus here is giving us some instructions to wives and to mothers. You know, our foundation in America, family foundation, was based on the Old Testament family you find in the Bible. You go back to Abraham, and you go back to the patriarchs that's mentioned in the Bible, and basically our foundation was built on that. And the good value, or the value of good motherhood, cannot be overstated. All of our forefathers, we have got all kind of quotes written down, historical quotes, how the great leaders of our beginning gave so much credit to their mothers. So many of them said, without mother, I wouldn't have made it. And I saw this week when the president was giving his Mother's Day greeting to the mothers, that he spoke so well of not only his parents, but the blessing of having parents and having the advantage, I believe he used the word advantage, of kids being raised with good parents. Now, we live in a day and time of the single home and all that, but that's not God's will. God's will is for a man and a woman, not two men, not two women. God's will is to have the traditional type family and the instruction and the example and all of that that comes from that kind of family. That's our Christian foundation. And rightfully in America, we have elevated motherhood in times past. And oh, how we need to do that again. You remember the TV commercials in the old days, even selling an automobile on TV. They said this car is as American as apple pie and motherhood. Remember those commercials? Well, that's kind of been changed nowadays. Now, there may be a few cliches left around, but in all practicality now, we've moved to the place that we've left what the Bible praises as motherhood. In Proverbs 31, the classic proverb of all times, recognized by so many, when a king pays tribute to his mother. What a classic piece of literature that is. And often in the Bible, heroes are women. God gives the position of the woman. He gives the position of the man. But you find in the Bible two books, in fact, named after women. Remember? Could you guess them? How about Ruth and Esther? And how God used them? Used Ruth in the foundation there of the lineage of the Messiah, back in the seed up through King David and to Christ himself. And then Esther, of course, preserving the very race of the Jews and how God used her in a special way. And so God uses women in the Bible. And the truth is, it also describes the wrong way. I look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and you might want to look at this. Chapter 5, a couple of verses. And here, by the way, it's talking about widows. And up in verse 5 of chapter 5, it speaks about widows indeed. I've had some women come to me and want some special favors here or there because they were widows. Well, that's right. There's a position the Bible gives on that. But I've had to say to one or two exactly what this verse says right here. I said, "Are you a widow indeed?" Uh-oh. Things change fast after that. Move on down with me in that same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And it says, talking about verse 13, "And withal they learned to be idle." Talking about the wrong thing now. "Withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies." Oh, the Bible's pretty plain. "Tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Switches to the good side. "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Kind of condemns the gossip and tattling and busybodiness in verse 13, and then tells what's the right way here in verse 14. We used to talk about women gossip. Now I think it's pretty much even across the board. Men and women used to talk about them leaning over the backyard fence. Now it's cell phone and social media. You know, somebody said if a woman don't gossip, she has no friends to speak of. I know that's a little deep for some of you, but I think that went through a little bit. But you know, the Bible praises the right kind of motherhood. Gives instructions about it, no doubt about it. And it describes the wrong right here. But sadly, motherhood has become belittled in our day and time. The TV set comes, the soap operas. Oh, I could tell you some experiences. I'm going to tell you this one because I hadn't thought of it in a while. Young man I had a service job. I was in the Lake Wales area, not far from here, about 16 miles. And I was fixing an appliance. And don't come to me for that. I didn't know what I was doing then, and I sure don't now. But anyway, that was my job at that time. And I was in the house trying to fix something. And the lady of the house was in there and somebody else. And I began to notice neighboring ladies come in. And they all gathered in the living room, and I'm back there working on washing machine or whatever it was, and I'm hearing them talk, and I realize somebody's died. And I realized some of those ladies was in tears. I'd just been saved not very long, and so as I got ready to get my ticket signed, I said, "I want to offer my condolences to whatever family member." And they looked funny at me. I thought, what did I say wrong? Finally, the lady of the house said, "Well, we didn't really have a death in the family. The death we're talking about is on the program As the World Turns." Or The Stomach Turns, whatever it was. Soap opera. Truth. Now, I was embarrassed, but they should have been embarrassed. Somebody had portrayed a death on that stupid soap opera, and all these women had come into the living room to mourn it in tears. Now, folks, that's what's substituted for the real thing much in America. And the sitcoms and the soap operas have done more against motherhood and have kind of family that ought to be portrayed than so many other things. And in the last election, Hillary mocked motherhood. You remember what she said? You just want me to stay home and bake cookies. Well, that'd been a better thing than what she was doing, I'll tell you that. I don't know how good she is at cookie baking, but the rest of it was a mess, I'll tell you that. But the truth is today, we look around today and see women portrayed in politics and not too many good examples. not many at all. I was thinking about that doctor or whatever he is, expert. Watch out for experts. They stand beside the president in these news conferences when they're updating us on the virus. You know who I'm talking about? Fauci, is that his name? Fauci. I saw on the news where he was going to quarantine himself because he'd been exposed to the virus. Well, I'm all for that. In fact, I'd like to give him a list, a bunch of them I'd like for him to take in quarantine with him. With all reality, we moved to a stupid day in America. It is amazing how the best economy in the world can be shut down and all of us be locked up. Lock up the healthy people. That's not what quarantine's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the sick that get locked up, amen, or separated out. Anyway, we look around today not seeing too many good examples in politics. Every now and then you see somebody step out and shine. I did like that lady in Texas that salon lady that said, I'll feed my kids no matter what you say. Praise God. She had some convictions. By the way, God just using that. I saw the headline in the Ledger this morning. Said the barbershop's going to be open. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Man, it's been a rough time. And the truth of the matter is, she probably had a lot to do with that. And God used it. Now, I'm glad that she had the conviction to stand. The ladies shine sometimes. I thank God for the women that have the mothers against drunk drivers. I praise God for the group of women that fought down over here in Tampa, in Hillsborough, when the CARE, C-A-I-R, that's representative of the Muslims, coming into the classroom and teaching our kids, teaching Islam and teaching Sharia law, and they were getting into public schools in Hillsborough, and a lot of mothers united and went against it. Praise God for women like that. I'm so thankful that they did. I don't know how it outcome, but Brother Cone back there gave me a piece of paper on it one time. He may know. Bother him, by the way. But anyway, thank God for motherhood that still comes to the surface in victory every now and then. Women that care for their kids. What they're being not only fed, but what they're being taught, what their brains are being fed. Amen. But you know, mothers are used and given by God because they have a special influence with kids. I believe they have a sixth sense when it comes to kids. I've always wondered where mother's third eye was. Because it spied when I did not figure how in the world she could have figured that out. Mother could have taught psychology in the biggest college there was. Because she knew how to stay ahead of us kids. But she was a caring mother. You know what, dads, you may have first place in a sense. But mothers are the ones they run to first. Every time. Every time they hurt bad enough, the first word out of their mouth is mother. Is mother. That's the way it is with kids. It's the first word when they're hurt, and it's generally the last word at the time of death with kids. You talk to the chaplains in the army, and many of them will tell you the dying soldier on the battlefield, the last word on his lips is a message to mother. The word mother. It's important. And God seems to have given a special influence with mothers over kids. I still like to see some of these big, heavy, mean-looking football players. But you notice the commercials are built around mother getting them to eat their soup. Right? Or something of the nature. It's always a mother. Not the dad, but the mother that the big boys influence the most by. I think about that. One One young man interviewed for a job as a policeman. And he was filling out all the application and having to take the test. And one of the test questions was this: what would you do if you had to arrest your own mother? He wrote down, "I'd call for backup." Now, you get the picture, don't you? Mothers have a special influence. I believe it's God-given stuff that God gives them, a discernment there that the Lord gives. That's what we men sometimes don't even understand or get a hold of. And that discernment is deeper. In my own personal memories of my mother, I had an overcaring mother. You've heard me tell it. Sometime when I was pastoring up in the country before I came here to the church, come down this way, and instead of driving home that night, stop by mother's house and spend the night and go back early in the morning. Sometime during the night, I'm talking about a grown man now. I'm talking about a man in his late 20s. I'm talking about a pastor of a country church. I'm talking about a fellow that had his own business and made his way in life. I'm talking about no longer that 8-9-year-old boy. But somewhere during the night, 1-2 a.m., I'd feel a hand on my forehead. I wake up easy, but I always pretended to stay asleep. That was mother's hand. She was checking on her little boy, see if he had a fever, if he was doing all right. She was overcaring. No doubt about that she was. And she had that sixth sense. She knew when something was wrong. She had her discernment. And I have a lot of personal memories about a caring mother. My brother, if you could ask him, would tell you that when we'd start to leave the house, mother, don't care if she's cooking, washing dishes, clothes, whatever, she stopped. And as we got in the car to start it up, she'd walk out and she'd come to the window of the car. Not one time, every time. And she'd caution me about my driving. She'd caution me about the traffic. Now, yes, mother. Yes, mama. I'll be careful. Yes, I understand. Whatever she's doing, she'd stop it and come out to the car window. Now, maybe she was overmuch, but that's just part of being the kind of mother that really cares about the kids. And mothers, so much of you have in common in that area. I don't know. I was in my early days. I was in the race car stuff. And she never would go to one of my races. She was scared to death about that. She didn't want to go. She didn't want me to go. She'd let Daddy, as it were, go once in a while. But she would never go, never went to one. She didn't want to hear about it. She was scared. And she prayed. When I get to heaven, I may find out some of them prayers is why I'm still here. Who knows? I remember one night I had probably one of the worst wrecks I ever had. And I started turning over, for you folks that know a circle racetrack, started turning over in the fourth turn, not rolling, end over end, flipping. Started in the fourth turn and flipped all the way out 7 times till I got to the starter stand. And landed on my top. And the race harness was holding me up in the top of the car like a possum hanging from a tree. Just hanging there. Couldn't get out. Strapped in. Needed some help. And I was wet. And I was running alcohol in that particular car. And it was cold. Much colder than gasoline. And I was just drenched in this cold liquid. And I was saying, as everybody began to rush up to the car, I was saying, "Don't come up here smoking." I thought I was fixing to be barbecue. And when they finally got me unharnessed, I found out the alcohol tank was all right. It was the radiator that had wet me down. Now, I laugh about that now, but I wonder if Mama's prayer didn't make the difference in a fuel tank and a radiator of water and fuel. I don't know, but her prayers went with me. And that's what a caring mother does. She cares for her kids. She don't always approve of what they're doing, but she never quits caring. Never quits caring. You know, so many stories and so many of you could testify to your mother's watch care over you and your mother's prayers for you. I think about the young black soldier story. I believe it was Vietnam. He and some of his platoon in a group, and all of a sudden, a shell fell. Enemy fire fell, shell fell right in their midst. Certain doom for every one of them. But of all things, it didn't go off. It stuck in the ground. I have seen that, but it's very rare. Stuck in the ground, it did not explode. The boys in shock. Why didn't it explode? Just looking at it. This young black soldier said, "Boys, look at your watch." Everybody looked at their watch. He said, "Synchronize the time to this. Do you know what time it is in my state where I live? At my house." He said, "That shell didn't explode because right now, my mother's on her knees in her prayer closet." You say, you believe that? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. I believe that lines up with the Word of God and the promises that you might find in the Word of God. Someone has said, God is too busy to be with us all the time. Now, that's not good theology. But God is too busy to be with us all the time. That's why He made mothers. Because it does seem like, as we reminisce and as we think back, it almost seems like that's the way mother was. She knew, she felt, she cared, she kept up. And maybe many of us today wouldn't be here or wouldn't have had the lives we've had had we not had that kind of mother. I hope you did. I know everybody didn't. I understand that. But I would like to think that every kid coming up, I tell you what, the psychiatrist will tell you today, childhood is stunted the rest of the life when they don't have the parents they ought to have. Somehow it's built into a kid that they're to get that kind of love. And God gives it. And the compassion of God is seen and felt, I believe, through mothers in a special way. A unique way. And we've got all great memories, but I'll tell you this. The greatest memory you can leave your kid is telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel. As a preacher through the years, I've had so many men, when I would be able to kind of buttonhole them and say, "When did you get saved? When did you receive Christ?" And they would say, "It was at mother's knee." I don't know how many said, "Well, when mother showed me John 3:16 and talked to me about it." Oh, yeah. That's a memory they'll never forget and they'll never get over. And I'd say to you today, if you're a mother, you have a great responsibility, a great charge from God to raise those kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and a great charge to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ that loved them and died for them. They'll never get over that. Oh, I understand the heartbreak of mothers and losing kids. We was at a funeral yesterday, a memorial service yesterday, and I heard the mother get up and pour out her heart of a boy. They were having his memorial service yesterday, the Wylands down in Lake Placid, having his memorial service on the day he would have turned 18. That yesterday would have been his birthday. And to hear the mother, and I thought then of what I'm saying to you right now. I thought then at the discernment God gave mothers. Somehow or another, she got up at 3 a.m. and went in his room to check on him, and he was dying. I don't know. She didn't know why, but she did. God has a special connection there. I believe that He does. The love that God wants kids to have that comes through parents. This modern day today, the career woman misses a lot of that. I'll tell you on the other side, no career is worth the career God's already given you if you have kids. Amen. I think about, oh yeah, a lot of pain. I think about the mother that World War II, many of you know stories of this and relate to kinfolk. I do. When the doorbell rang or the knock came on the door, and it was from the Western Union back in those days. It was a telegram everybody dreaded. They didn't want to get one. I remember my mother answering the door one time when it was a telegram of one of my cousins, and he was dead. And I remember her screaming at the door as soon as she saw the telegram. Sad days. This story I'm telling you about, the mother went to the door and received that bad news telegram, your son is missing in action. She had other kids and other family responsibilities, and she was home alone. She went back to the kitchen and tried to wash the dishes and cook the meal, and the tears running down her face by herself before anybody else got home. And she said, maybe I didn't see him, but I thought I did. I thought I saw an angel stand side of me. And through my tears, I thought I heard him say, Mother, if I would let you have that boy back for a little while, at what stage in his life would you like to have him back? Would you like to have him back when he was first born and you held him in your arms? Would you like to have him back when he was a chubby little baby walking around? Or would you like to have him back when he graduated high school? Would you like to have him back when you said goodbye to him as a tall young man going off to serve his country? Would you like to have him back at that time? And she said, I dreamed that I answered the angel this way. No, I'd like to have him back that day that he came in grammar school, and his shoes was muddy, and he tracked on my floor, and he come in and just, not thinking, just messed up everything, and I fussed at him, and I made him mad, and he screamed at me, and he said, Mama, I hate you. She said, but after a little while, he come back in, and he hugged me, and he said, I'm so sorry I said that. She said, Mr. Angel, would you give him back at that moment? I thought about that. Mother that loves at all times and understands. When we get to heaven, I don't know if God's got videos up there he's going to let us see, so to speak. I don't know what you might ask for to be replayed. I got some I don't want replayed, but I got some I do. And some of the most precious ones has to do with those memories. As a kid, had a loving mother that I'd give so much credit to today. I ask you today, are you that kind of loving mother? I ask you kids today, when's the last time you hugged mother's neck and thanked her for how she cared for you when you were not wise enough maybe to care for yourself? I pray today that we'd give some deep thoughts about it, see what God has to say about it, try to be the best mother, try to be the best father, try to be the best kid that we can possibly be. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Let's stand quietly. Father, we come to you. We thank you for your book, the instruction it gives, the encouragement it gives, the challenge it gives, Lord, to do right in a sin-cursed world that seems anymore to hate every value that you've established. I pray you'd help us in our church families. Bless our mothers, I pray. Bless our fathers. Bless our kids to see we still have a responsibility even as we grow older. And help us to look back and be thankful for what you put in us through loving parents. I pray you'd bless the invitation today. It could be somebody's here and they remember when mother tried to tell them about Jesus and they said no. Now they see the wisdom and see the mistake. I pray they'd recognize if mother's allowed to look on from heaven, how she would rejoice to see them come to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be their Savior so the family could be reunited on the other side. Lord, I commit the invitation to you these few moments and out in radio land that you might speak or online speak to somebody in a special way. Pray you'd bless the invitation now in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing, I'll Step to the Front. Will you meet me here? Will you come and receive Christ? Whatever God's asked you to do, you do it as we sing. Let's bow our heads a moment. Invitations open for just a little while longer. If the Lord's asked you to do something, make a commitment, make a decision, a special prayer. Most important, receive Christ as your Savior if you never have. You still have time. You can still come. Some stories happened around Mother's Day because of prodigal sons, wayward sons, thinking back on Mother. Preacher friend here that haven't seen in many years, pastored up here in North Florida for a number of years. There's some verses in the Bible, if you look them up, about catching your tears in a bottle. He was that wayward son, not out into what the world would call deep sin, but not saved. Christian mother talked to him through the years and tried to get him saved. I believe he said it was around Mother's Day. He went to the post office and he got a little package out addressed to him. He knew it was from his mother. He said as he was leaving the building, he opened the package. And it was a bottle that looked like water in it with a note. And the note said, "Son, this bottle contains my tears that I shed in prayer for you to be saved over a period of time." She said, "I put a big dishpan on the floor and I prayed over that dishpan time and time again. My heart was broken for you to be saved. And it caught my tears. I have now, with a funnel, put them in a small bottle, as the scripture says, tears in a bottle." That boy that was not saved said, "I fell against the side of the building with a broken heart." He said, "I wept myself and I came to Christ right there." He made a great preacher, Last I knew of him, he was pastoring a church in North Florida. Compassion of a mother. Tears of a mother. This busy schedule the world's on today, we may have lost some of those old-fashioned days and mothers and care and compassion, but it did work and it would still work. If you have such a one today you're praying for, don't give up. God's still able. He can still save, turn things around. All right, thank you, folks. Invite you to come back tonight. We've kept our services on schedule. Our crowd has not been as large as it was before we cut. We've had a lot of folks that had other ailments and had fears, and we understand that. And we're glad that they were able to keep up with us online. I got some nice notes this week from folks listening online and thanking God that we were still having the services here that they could tune into. So we praise the Lord for that. If you're visiting with us today, we're glad to have you. We're still just an old-fashioned church that believes the Bible is the Word of God and believes that God is the ultimate power over government and everything else. And so we try to put Him first. Amen? All right. How about if I do this? I haven't been going to the door for the last several weeks to shake hands with you. How about if I go to the door and I hold my hands behind my back and just look at you as you go out? Is that all right? Would that be all right? Let me do that. Got this young man here. I was giving his announcement about being married. The one I told you about, I couldn't figure why that pretty girl saw anything in him. Remember me making that announcement this morning? I'm joking at Luke here. Luke, take the microphone. Dismiss us, please. God bless you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for letting us get the buses up rolling again. Lord, thank you for all the kids that came. Lord, thank you for mothers. Thank you for my mom, Lord. We love them very much. I pray you give us a safe trip home. Get rid of the COVID, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.